would think
that the main purpose of Talmud Torah is to know how to do mitzvahs. You don't learn, you can't do. And most certainly, one of the purposes of learning Torah is a little more than manas lasos, to learn in order to observe what you're learning. However, the Beis Halevi says that that mistake was a deadly mistake that Klal Yisrael made that eventually led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal say that the reason that Eretz Yisrael was lost and we went into Golis is Al Ozva Mes Torah Si, and Chazal say Shelo Berchu Ba Torah Tchila. They didn't make a bracha before they learned Torah. The Beis Halevi explains they assumed that Talmud Torah was merely a means to be able to learn to what to do. The halacha is that you make a bracha on a gemar mitzvah. You make a bracha when you sit in the sukkah on sukkahs. You don't make a bracha when you build a sukkah, because building a sukkah is only a heksher mitzvah. The mitzvah is sitting in the sukkah. So you don't make a bracha on a heksher mitzvah. You only make a bracha on the mitzvah itself. They assumed that learning Torah is a heksher mitzvah. It's a preparation for doing. And therefore you don't make a bracha on Torah itself. But that's not true. Torah itself is a value to itself. Avada, you have to observe what you learn. But there's more to Torah than just learning in order to observe. Torah is a mitzvah, even if there's something that you can't observe at all. There are parts of the Torah that can never be mekuyim. Then soru mora, the Gemara says, lohoye v'lo nivra. But drosh v'kabel shchar, there's still an inyan to learn Torah, even in those areas that you'll never have anything lemaisa from it. And that's what we want to speak about in the beginning. Now, what are those milas of Torah? What's the mila of learning Torah? And even though Chazal say, Gedola Torah Shemidiya, Gedola Talmud Shemidiya Lidei Maisa, the Torah learning is great because it brings you Lidei Maisa, but on the surface doesn't make sense, because the goal is always greater than the means. So if the only thing about Talmud Torah would be that it's a means to be able to do, then how could learning be greater than doing, if the whole purpose of the learning is to do? But the simple idea is that there's another added aspect of learning Torah that's intrinsic to itself. There's an intrinsic value to learn Torah. In addition to that, Torah brings you Lidei Maisa. So it has two milas. It has an intrinsic mila and it brings you Lidei Maisa, so it's greater than the Maisa itself. I was thinking to explain with that a very difficult Rambam. The Rambam starts Hilchas Talmud Torah, Noshim, Avodim, Iktanim, Repotim, Talmud Torah. And then he goes to describe what Talmud Torah is. Very difficult. The Rambam in other places first tells me who's responsible, what it is. Then he tells me, and by the way, children and women and slaves are potter. Why would the Rambam start the halachas of Talmud Torah with Noshim, Avodim, Iktanim, Turim, Talmud Torah? I think it's to make this statement. Because women and slaves, for sure, have mitzvahs they have to do. Children also, there's a shita that holds that a child is chayiv in chinuch, right? The chiyuv is on the child. So the Rambam here is making it clear that the purpose of learning Torah is not in order to observe mitzvahs. Because if it would, then why should women be potter? They should be chayiv to learn the mitzvahs they have to, and they are chayiv, but not out of Talmud Torah. They're chayiv because of their mitzvahs. And therefore the Rambam makes a statement at the beginning of Hilchas Talmud Torah, don't think that learning Torah is just in order to be able to mekayim mitzvahs. Because Noshim, Avodim, Iktanim are potter from Talmud Torah, even though they're chayiv in mitzvahs. So it must be something more intrinsic to learning Torah. So what is it? Start with the first mila of learning Torah, is that im lo brishi yomam v'layla, chuko shamayim v'oretz osamti. Chaim V'loshen explains, it's not that if Klal Yisrael had not accepted the Torah, then the world would have reverted to tohu vavohu, but every single second that the world exists, the energy source for the existence of the world is Talmud Torah. And if for 1 second there would be no Talmud Torah anywhere in the world couldn't exist. I once said this over at my table on Shavuos. My daughter, one of my daughters, is about 9 years old, and she says, now I understand what we learn in geography, that when it's dark on one side of the world, it's light on the other side, and vice versa. She said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it like that, probably, so there'd always be people up learning Torah. Because if it would be night all over at the same time, then there'd be at least one time when people, nobody would be learning Torah, and the world couldn't exist. This way, people learn in shifts. When it's daytime here, it's nighttime there, and so on. And that explains also another Maimer Chazal. Gedola Talmud Torah Yoser Mehatzolos Nefashos. Learning Torah is greater than saving lives. Now, it does not mean that if you're sitting by the riverbank and you hear somebody screaming, help, I'm drowning, save me, and you're learning, that you should say, well, I'm sorry, I'm learning now, and learning Torah is greater than saving lives. So if you can tread water till Ben Hasdorim or Ben Hasmanim, I'll be happy to save you, but right now I'm learning. That's not what it means. You close the Gemara and you go and save the life. What it means is, even though the Rabban Shalom wants you at that moment to save the life, it's not because saving lives is greater than Talmud Torah. Pesach night, comes time to eat matzah, and you're learning, you have to stop learning to eat matzah. No one would ever think that the mitzvah of eating matzah is greater than the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah connected kulam. Except the Kaddish Baruch wants you to do the lesser thing. If you can't do it through somebody else, and it has a set time, then the Rabban Shalom said, I want you to do this too, but not because it's greater. Because that's what you have to do. So you have to save a life. But not because saving lives is greater than Talmud Torah. How do you understand that? But according to this, that if every second you learn Torah, you are keeping the world going. So learning Torah keeps the entire world going. Saving a life, how many lives could you save? You save a million lives, not the whole universe. So learning Torah is much greater even than saving a finite amount of lives. And that's why Rav Aaron Kotler says, we say a whole list of chasodim in the morning, right? Kibud Avaim and Gemilas Chasodim and Hachnosis Kala and Hachnosis Orchim and Bikur Cholim and Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. L'chor, it's apples and oranges. Right? What in the world is Talmud Torah? Do a Gemilas Chesed. It's not, this is greater than them. It's not the same thing. But according to this, Talmud Torah is the greatest Chesed you could possibly do. Because by learning Torah, you're keeping the entire world going. And it's not just that if somebody's learning Torah, so the world will exist. But the more Torah learning, in quantity, and not only that, but the greater quality of Talmud Torah, the more a person learns Torah in depth, the more kiyum the world has, the more substance the world has, the more safe the world is. So that is... The first mile of Talmud Torah is that Talmud Torah itself is the energy source for the entire world. And that's why Chazal say, Vitor HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaGili HaRayish V'Chesdom HaRavod HaZorah. These are three devastating sins, but God could overlook them. But Lo Vitor Al Bitul Torah, because Bitul Torah is taking away the energy source for the entire world. It's more devastating than the devastating effects of Gili HaRayish V'Chesdom HaRavod HaZorah. It doesn't look like that. You're sitting here with a bunch of Sfarim, with a Gemara. There's so many people out there that are seeming to do much more substantive things. There's architects building big bridges and big buildings, and people who are discovering cures for diseases, right? People in finance or whatever, running the economy of the world. Looks much more impressive than you sitting here with a Gemara open in front of you. The Chafetz Chaim gives a marshal. He says there was once a very wealthy man who wanted to have built for him the most luxurious yacht that ever existed. So he hired an architect and he hired a builder and he told them, I want you to build me the most luxurious yacht that ever existed. But I'm telling you now that when it's finished, I'm going to inspect it. And if there's anything plain and ordinary in that boat, I'm not going to pay you a penny. Everything has to be luxurious. So they built him this beautiful yacht, and they came to inspect it. So they took him to the state rooms, and they saw everything was wall-to-wall plush carpeting. The bathroom fixtures were solid gold. Everything was luxurious. Took him to the dining room, the ballrooms, beautiful, luxurious. Finally took him down beneath, and he sees a room with a plain, ordinary doorknob, and it looks like smoke coming out from under the door. He says, I have a suspicion that there's something in that room that is not luxurious. I want the door opened immediately. They open the door. Sure enough, there's no carpeting on the floor. It's all sooty and dirty. He said, look, I'm giving you 24 hours to get this room out of my boat, or I don't pay you a penny. So they took the engine room out of the boat, and the whole boat sank. The engine room may not look as luxurious and as illustrious, right, and may not be as luxurious as the rest of the boat, but that's what keeps the boat going. So too, it may not look so impressive that you're sitting here with a Gemara open, but all the other things that people are doing that may look very impressive, they couldn't do any of that unless you're sitting here learning Gemara, because the world wouldn't have the ability to exist. Another thing the Chafetz Chaim said, they once had a meeting in Raden, in the Beis Medrash, in the yeshiva, because they wanted to build a Jewish-run hospital in the area there after World War I, between World War I and World War II. There were a lot of Jewish sick people because of the conditions in Europe at that time, and the Goyish hospitals didn't take care of them well. So they wanted to build a Jewish-run hospital. So the Chafetz Chaim said, this is so important, I want people to know that it's important. I'm going to have a meeting for all of the Balabatim, the rich Balabatim, who could donate for this hospital in the Beis Medrash in my yeshiva. They'll know it's an important thing. So they got together in the Beis Medrash. The Chafetz Chaim got up, made an impassioned plea for people to give money for this hospital. And he said, I want everybody to get up, one by one, and pledge a certain amount of beds for the hospital, each bed representing a certain amount of money. So each one got up, this one pledged 10 beds, 15 beds, 20 beds. Finally the time came for the richest person there to make his pledge. And everybody was waiting with bated breath, how many beds is he going to give? He gets up, and he notices in the back of the Beis Medrash, there's an avreich, a poor Talmud Chacham sitting and learning. So to make a little joke, he said, I'll give 10 times as many beds as that guy in the back will give. So everybody laughed. The guy in the back probably couldn't give a pillowcase, let alone a bed. Chafetz Chaim got up, livid, angry, banged on his tender, and he said, you couldn't give 1,000th of what that man in the back could give. So everybody thought, wow, this guy is like, unknown millionaire. He said, I'll tell you what I mean. You could give, 100 beds? 1,000 beds to take care of the sick people in this area, that man with his Torah can see to it that there won't be any sick people in this area. With all your money in the world, you can't do that. So that is the first mila of Torah, aside from being able to learn how to do mitzvahs. You are keeping the world going, every word of Torah you learn. And the deeper you learn, the more energy you give, the more gas you give to the world. The more time you spend, the more kiyum the world has. The more people there are that are learning, the more secure, the more safe, the more substantive the world is. Second, not only are you keeping the macrocosm, the big universe going, you're keeping the microcosm going too. Because your ability to live, especially eternal life, comes from Torah. Call me sheyesh bo or Torah mechayehu. A person who has the light of Torah, the light of Torah study within him, that is what gives him eternal life. Chazal say that the eternal life of Olam Haba comes from Limud HaTorah. Ad kedei kach, that the Gemara says, and how do women have Olam Haba? Right? Well, how do women get Olam Haba? They don't have a mitzvah Talmud Torah. The Gemara says, because they support their husbands and their children in learning Torah. So therefore they become partners in Limud HaTorah, just like they're learning. But otherwise, you don't have Olam Haba, you don't have Tchias HaMeisim. And the Shev Shmaisa says, that's what the Mishnah means in Sanhedrin. One of the people who loses his chelik in Olam Haba is a person who says, Ein Tchias HaMeisim min HaTorah. Rashi learns, he says, I believe in Tchias HaMeisim, but I don't believe that it has a source in the Torah. It's very difficult. Rashi, what difference? If you believe in it, what difference does it make if you have a source? It doesn't have a source. Shev Shmaisa says it means something else. A person says, I believe in Tchias HaMeisim, but I don't believe what causes it is learning Torah. I believe that other things cause it. Keeping mitzvahs, whatever, makes Tchias HaMeisim. ain't Tchias HaMeisim min HaTorah. Tchias HaMeisim doesn't come from the Torah. A person like that loses Chelek Olam Haba. Because there is no Techaye Olam Nota V'Sochenu. That's the brach we make on Birchas HaTorah. Where is that Chaye Olam? That eternal life that is just like the life of the world is Torah, the life of every individual, the eternal life comes from Torah. We say that every day, except we think it's just no poetic. It's not poetic. It's true. It means it literally. That is, you want to know where your life source is, not just the 120 years in this world. Keeps your heart beating or whatever. That's not real life. We're talking about eternal life. Eternal life, the source is Limud HaTorah. Next, Maila. Torah brings perfection to the world. And Talmidei Chacham who learn Torah, Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. The Rambam says in the end of Hilchis Chanukah, based on the Gemara in Yevamos, Lo Nitna Torah Ela Lahavi Shalom La'olam. As the Pasuk says, Drachecha Darchei Noam, V'chol Nesivosecha Shalom. Shalom doesn't mean peace. Shalom doesn't mean hello, goodbye. Shalom means perfection. What brings perfection to this world, not only what fuels the existence of the world, what fuels the existence of every person eternally, but the perfection of the world, the perfection of every human being depends on Talmud Torah. Another mile of Torah. Torah connects you to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Torah is God's mind. Kibiyachol, it's God's will. When you learn Torah, you are connecting to yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam's mind and his Ratzon, and that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam is. The Ribbono Shel Olam is impossible to cleave to the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. He's beyond comprehension. So what can we cleave to? The Ribbono Shel Olam's Das, the Ribbono Shel Olam's Chochma, the Ribbono Shel Olam's Ratzon. When you learn Torah, you're learning Kibiyachol with the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's teaching you. He's speaking to you from the Torah. Every time you learn a Tosis, every time you learn a piece of Gemara, every time you learn a Pasuk Chumash, the Ribbono Shel Olam is speaking to you. In fact, I think the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos sometimes says, Omra HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omra Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Because Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi didn't say this on his own. He's telling you Torah Hashem. So when you learn Torah, whether it's Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebaal Peh, you're learning Dvar Hashem. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is speaking to you. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam is speaking to you, then you have a chavrusa with him. It's a great chavrusa. If you have another chavrusa, so the Ribbono Shel Olam is the third partner in that chavrusa. That's why it says, Eino Dome, Shona Pirko Mea Pa'amim. There's no comparison of a person who learns something 100 times, Mishona Pirko Mea Pa'amim Ve'echad. Simple meaning, to somebody who learns it 101 times. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say, Eino Dome, Shona Pirko Mea Pa'amim Shona Pirko Mea Ve'echad Pa'amim. It says, Mea Pa'amim Ve'echad. The Ve'echad, they say, means together with the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you learn 100 times, but you don't realize that you're learning with the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's speaking to you from the Sefer that you're learning, right? Then your learning is very, very much different than when you understand you're learning Mea Pa'amim, but Ve'echad, you're learning together with the Echad HaMeyuchad, you're learning together with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore the Rambam says, how do you reach Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem? Right? How does a person become an Oev Hashem and Yiras Hashem? So it says, the Ohavtes Hashem Elokecha, how? The Hoyu Hadvorim Ho'eila. When you learn Torah, right, you get closer and closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You get to see his wisdom. Just as much as when a person fathoms creation and nature, he sees the wisdom of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That should bring him to a tremendous love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a tremendous awe. The same way when you learn Torah, when you have the awe and you understand how deep Torah is, how much there is. There's Sfarim written about one small halacha, big Sfarim. There's no end to Torah, not in Kamus and not in Eichus. There's always deeper and deeper and deeper. And when you come with a Hispilus from a Svara in Torah, you see the tremendous depth and breadth of the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Ratzon Hashem, it has the same effect on you as when you see the Grand Canyon, when you see the niflos of the Rabbanu Shel Olam in nature, same thing you see from sitting and learning a piece of Gemara. So that is another mila of Torah. It connects you to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. A corollary of that is Torah's mechaven daito ledas hamakom. Torah makes you think like God. It programs and conditions you to have the thought process when you learn a piece of Gemara, especially Gemara. When you learn a piece of Gemara, it programs your mind to think like the Rabbanu Shel Olam, because Torah Shebaal Peh is God's thought process. So you get into the habit of thinking and seeing things like the Rabbanu Shel Olam sees them. What's the mile of that? That's called Das Torah. Person who is immersed in Torah. And the more you're immersed, a little bit, you have a little Das Torah. A lot, you have a lot of Das Torah. Gedolei Yisrael, who are totally immersed in Torah from the time that they were young and to the exclusion of everything else. So their mind is programmed to think like the Rabbanu Shel Olam, because that's what Torah is. So when you go and ask them a question about something, they can't look up in the Gemara. They can't find a place where your advice that they're giving you has a source. So what is their opinion better than your opinion? But their opinion is based on God's thought process. And when they think and when they see an issue, they assess it according to what they've been programmed to think, how the Rabbanu Shel Olam thinks. So you're getting what God would say in your specific situation. That's called Das Torah. And the more you learn Torah, the more your mind becomes programmed, conditioned to think like that. And then you can see issues in life that you can't find a source for specifically anywhere. But at least that's how you think. That's how you see things. In that light, you'll be able to think like the Rabbanu Shel Olam thinks. And that's another meaning of Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Tells the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Mordechai Katz, said what it means is the following. A person has to do mitzvahs. He has to do and function in this world. How does he know if he's functioning properly? You have a mitzvah kibud av va'em. Sometimes a mitzvah to listen to your parents. Sometimes a mitzvah not to listen to your parents. How do you know when? So Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. You have to assess every mitzvah you do. And for that matter, everything that you do, opposite Talmud Torah. You have to see it through the lens of Talmud Torah. The more you learn, the more you're able to assess what you do. Is it a mitzvah? Is it an aveira? Is it something parid? How do you know? The only way you know is by assessing it le'umas Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Look through the prism. Look through the lens of Talmud Torah, and then you'll see things as God sees them, and you'll know if the mitzvah you're doing is really a mitzvah, and you'll know if the thing that you're doing in life is what God would want you to do, or what you want to do, and maybe it's not the Ratzon Hashem. Another mila of Talmud Torah. Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. The Rabbanu Shem created the Yetzer Hara. And he created an antidote, but it doesn't really mean an antidote, it means a spice. The Torah doesn't necessarily get rid of your Yetzer Hara, but it spices it up. It makes it tasty. It makes it that you could use it even for the good. That's what we're supposed to do. B'chol levavcha, b'shnei yetzarecha. A person's not supposed to destroy his Yetzer Hara, but he's supposed to take that Yetzer Hara and use it for Avodas Hashem. Channel it in the right direction. Now how in the world can you take a Yetzer Hara, which is evil, and spice it up and turn it into something good? The only way is through Torah. The Rabbanu Shem created both of them, and he said, the only way, I created it, I know what it is. The only way you can combat your Yetzer Hara is through Talmud Torah. The Yetzer Hara gets you, the way to get away from it, Moshchei Lebeis HaMedrash. Open a Gemara, start learning, Yetzer Hara will go away. So Torah, learning Torah, is a way to harness and be able to control your Yetzer Hara. And therefore, Chazal say, Halavai osi ozovu. Halavai, you forget about me. Don't observe my mitzvahs. But the Torah si shamaru, but you keep learning Torah, Shahamor Shabamazal, eventually you'll come back. Because the Torah will drag you back to Avodas Hashem. And therefore my Rosh Yeshiva of Gifter Zatzal used to say that the most effective way of being Makariv people, some of you are interested in Kiruv, going into Kiruv, so there's a lot of gimmicks in Kiruv, how to be Makariv people. He says the best thing is not a gimmick. Sit down and learn a Pasuk Chumash with the person. Sit down and learn a Mishnah, a piece of Gemara. Because Amor Shabbat Magzal Amutav, Torah has the ability to bring people closer to Yiddishkeit. And if you don't see the results right away, doesn't mean it's not there. The Torah gets to the neshama, to the shoresh, to the root of a person, and it itself has the ability to bring a person closer. In addition to all of this, Torah makes you a new person. When you learn Torah, you're not the same person you were before you learned. You're a little bit different. The more you learn, the more different a person you are. Says last week's Sedra, HaNefesh Asher Osu Bechara, that these are the people that they taught Torah, Avraham Avinu and Sarah, and Nefesh Asher Osu. Chazal learned from that, Kol HaMalamed Ben Chaveiro Torah Ke'ilu Asohu, like you made him, like you gave birth to him. And we learned that also from the fact that says Ela told those Moshe the Aaron, and only mentions the children of Aaron, because Moshe taught them Torah, it's as if he gave birth to them. The idea being, somebody who has no one to teach him Torah, who is far from Torah, and you taught them Torah, you made that person into a new person. The Maharsha says, a person's like an animal, until he's a person who has Torah within him, it's a new person. It's like changing from an animal to a human being. Then there's people whose parents could teach them Torah, but not on the same level. So there it's Ke'ilu Yoldo. It's like you gave birth to that person. But it's even more than that. Even a person who has an Aaron HaKohen as a father, but Moshe adds something, a little bit, a little nuance, different, is also, it's like it's your children. So every little bit of Torah that a person learns makes him a different person, completely different person. And that's why Torah is able to enhance your midos. If you don't have midos tovos, the basics, you'll never have Torah. The main derech eretz ain't Torah. Derech eretz kodma la Torah. But on the other hand, the main Torah ain't derech eretz. If you really want to enhance a person's midos, your own midos, then the way to do it is only through learning Torah. The more Torah you learn, the more enhancement of your midos, the more you can be a greater person, a greater mensch. And therefore Talmud Torah makes you into a different person by working on your midos. The whole Mesilas Yesharim, all the Mesilas Yesharim starts with Torah Mevi'a Lidei Zehirus. First you have to have Talmud Torah, then you can have Zehirus and Zrizus and all the other midos. But if you don't have Talmud Torah, then you'll never come to the essence, the enhancement of what midos really are. And lastly, Torah Taka brings you to be able to do mitzvahs. Torah mivia lidei maisa. But it doesn't mean simply that if you don't know halacha, you don't know the mitzvahs, you can't do them. That's simple. It means much more than that. Torah mivia lidei maisa means the more you learn, the deeper you learn, the more you have a breadth and depth of Torah learning, the different your mitzvah is. Imagine a person who never learned anything about tefillin, except somebody told them, look, these black boxes, you got to put on your arm, have kavanah l'shem mitzvah, hanochas tefillin, yotzei the mitzvah. And somebody who learned through all the gemaras and menachas about tefillin, right, he understands all the halacha, all the raid, all the pilpul, right, all the yeshivish Torah about tefillin, and he's learned through all the Zohars and all the Tamei HaMitzvah, what the idea philosophically and Kabbalistically, what tefillin are all about. He knows how to put tefillin, and you know, he knows them, how they're made back and forth. He knows all the parshios. He's learned all the Mefarshei Torah and what's in the Arba Parshios and the tefillin. Can you tell me that person who puts on tefillin and the other person who puts on tefillin are doing the same mitzvah? They're mekayim the same mitzvah. But isn't there a world of difference between the person who's mekayim the mitzvah with a background of Talmud Torah and the person who's mekayim the mitzvah knows nothing about it, except that it's a mitzvah and he does it. Both will get schar, but the mitzvah is a much more quality mitzvah the more learning you have behind it. So when it says Torah's mevi'a lidei ma'isa, it doesn't only mean that it enables you to do it, it means that it enhances your ma'isa too. And the more you learn, and the more you are a ben Torah, the more you're a Talmud Chacham, the more your mitzvahs are quality mitzvahs, because there's a lot more behind them than just do this or don't do this. In addition to that, the more you learn, the more clear Torah is and mitzvahs are. And the more clear something is to you, the more real it is. They always give them difference between somebody who believes something and knows it, and then you really know it, you feel it. In Tells, they used to give the following example. In America, I don't know if it's still like that, but when I was there 30 years ago, everywhere in America, if you go to a public park, they have park benches. They all are colored the same color green. It's dark green. They must have had a million gallons of that paint that they reserved for park benches. So sometimes they renew the coat of paint on the benches. And then they put a sign, wet paint, so you don't sit on the bench and get your clothes full of that color green. What do people normally do when they see that sign on the bench? Touch the bench and then look at their finger to see if it's like a really wet paint. Why? Don't you believe the sign? You see the paint is glistening. Why do you have to touch it? The answer is there's a very big difference between what you know intellectually and what you really, really feel. What difference does it make? If you really, really believe and it's real to you, you're willing to sacrifice, even sacrifice your life. If you believe it and it's not real, just something intellectual, then maybe you're not ready to sacrifice. Right? There's all different levels in belief. How real it is to you. And Emunah has to be as if you were there by Yetzias Mitzrayim and saw all those miracles, then you really, really feel the belief. That's how strong it has to be. Not just that you say you believe and you do, but it's just intellectual. The more Torah you learn, the more real your Emunah becomes. The more you see the Rabbanu Shel Olam, the more you feel Him. And the more you can feel Him when you do a mitzvah. And the more real and clear the mitzvah is. That is another mila in learning Torah. Because Torah has so many facets. And what we mention is only the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more in each thing that I mention to go deeper and deeper. But in order to be able to have Torah, have all those milas, you can't just sit down like you curl up with a novel and read some Torah. You have to be two things. You have to be omel b'Torah. You have to put in a tremendous amount of effort. And you have to be besimcha. You have to enjoy learning Torah. And they go together. Because the more a person realizes that Torah is something that is the joy of his life, all these milas, the more he's willing to put in effort. And the more you put in effort in something, the more dear it becomes to you, the more you enjoy it. The two things go together. And they work symbiotically, one with the other. They complement each other. And the purpose of that is that the Torah should become mamish, part of you. That's the ma'ala. Not that you should possess Torah. That's the difference between chachma and Torah. It says if somebody tells you, chachma bagoyim, tamin. Somebody tells you the goyim have chachma, believe them. Torah bagoyim al tamin. But if somebody says Torah exists by the nations of the world, don't believe them. Impossible. Now on the surface, that doesn't make too much sense. Because either it means that a goy can't learn Torah. It's impossible. Which is ridiculous. I'm sure that a nuclear physicist could open a art scroll chumash and make heads and tails of it. So, and that not only that, their goyim will learn Gemara. There's a goy, Danby, was a priest. He wrote a commentary on the Mishnah. It was not a bad commentary either. Priests learn Gemara. So goyim can learn Gemara. Elamai, they're not allowed to. So it means if somebody tells you that goyim do things they're not allowed to do, don't believe them. And that's also a little ridiculous, because goyim do a lot of things they're not allowed to do. So what does it mean? So I'll tell you what I think it means, and it's very much how you get all these milas Torah. There was a professor of ethics in City College in New York in the 1940s. His name was Bertram Russell. During that time of his life, Bertram Russell was very unethical. He was a communist. He believed in free love, didn't believe in marriage. He's immoral, unethical. So the ethics committee of the college called him in, and they said, Bertram Russell, we have a problem with you. You teach ethics in our institution, and you're not ethical. He said, what's the problem? He said, 20 years ago, I taught geometry in a school in England. Not once did the ethics committee of that college call me in and say, Professor Russell, we have a problem with you. You teach geometry in our institution, and you're not a square, a circle, or a parallelogram. I don't have to be what I teach. I just have to teach it. I don't have to be a plane to teach geometry. I don't have to be ethical to teach ethics. That's chachma. Chachma is something you possess. You could do what you want with it. It could make an impression on you, and it did on many goyim, very fine people, who let their wisdom make an impression on them. But it didn't have to. You can be a nuclear physicist and be a bum. And the fact that you're a bum does not detract one bit from your chachma, and your chachma doesn't add one bit to your character. And that's what goyim understand. But Torah can't be like that. Torah nimshalo ke'esh. Torah is like fire. Ma'esh osarosha, ma'f Torah osarosha. Fire makes an impression, and Torah has to make an impression. Either people who learn Torah doesn't seem to make an impression on them. There are people who learn Torah in Judaic studies in colleges, and they are totally unobservant. It's the opposite. Right? So Torah doesn't make an impression, but they learn Torah. You ever go to a chasana, somebody puts some liquid on his hat and puts it on fire, and he doesn't become, you know, self-immolated like a Buddhist monk, right? But his hat lasts, he lasts, goes to the next chasana and does it again. It's called stage fire. It's a cold flame. It looks like fire, smells like fire, sounds like fire, but it's not real fire. It's just stage fire. How do I know it's not real fire? It doesn't burn anything. You can have something that looks like Torah, smells like Torah, sounds like Torah, but it's not real Torah. It's only chachma, because it doesn't make an impression on the person who's learning it. Then you know it's fake. Looks like Torah, it remains chachma. That's why by a chacham, a nuclear physicist, you make a bracha. Asher nosan mechachmoso lebosar v'dam. God gives the wisdom, no strings attached, do what you want with it, and you remain a flesh and blood person. But a talmid chacham, you make a different bracha. Asher cholak mechachmoso liyareyav. The Rebbein Shem doesn't give it away. He apportions it out. There's conditions. And then he only gives it to people who fear him. Then you have Torah. So in order to make the Torah mamish part of you, and that's the goal. The Gemara says people are very foolish because they stand up per Sefer Torah when it comes out of the Aron Kodesh, but they don't stand up for a Talmid Chacham. The Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh is dead wood, dead parchment, dead ink, locked up in that box. Don't do anything for anybody a whole week. What's the purpose of that Torah? That people should learn it and become living Sefer Torah. So people stand up for the dead Sefer Torah, they don't stand up for the living Sefer Torah. It's foolishness. But that's the goal. The goal is that if you learn properly, and you put your concentration and your effort and your besimcha, that becomes the ikkar of your life. And even if you're not going to sit and learn Torah all day, you'll become a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, a businessman, a garbage man. It makes no difference what you do. That's what you do. That's your parnasa. That's your occupation. That's not you. You are not a doctor. You are not a lawyer. You're a person who does doctoring, who does law. What are you? Depends what kind of Talmud Chacham and then Torah. Asei Torah Shukva. If in your lives you'll make the Torah the ikkar, and even if you only have an hour a day to learn, but that hour a day is the ikkar of what you are. And the rest of the time, you have to make a parnasa. You have other things to do, but that's only the peripheral. That's in order to make that you have that hour to learn and become a different person. And to create that life for yourself, for the world, and all the other things we mentioned. So then, Taki, you'll become a living Sefer Torah. Some people are a little bigger Sefer Torah, some people are smaller Sefer Torah, but that's the goal of every Jew. So whatever you're going to be, whether you're going to be Toroso, Noso, you're going to sit and learn Torah your whole life, you become a Rav, you become a Mechanech, Dayan, whatever it may be. or you'll be a person of Mekayim Yofa Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz. You combine Torah with a worldly occupation. In either case, the Torah has to be the Iker. You could be learning Torah all day, and you take an hour break during the day, and you're looking forward to that all day. That's the Iker of your day, my hour break. Then you're not a person of Torah Sokeva, even though you're learning 23 hours a day. But that 1 hour that you're free, that's the Iker for you. So, and you could be learning Torah 1 hour a day. But if that's the Iker of your life, and everything else you do is in order to enable that you could have that hour to learn, then Torah Sokeva. And if you make the Torah Keva, it doesn't mean just that you make it set. It means it's set in you. And you become a living Sefer Torah. So, that's how Talmud Torah has to be. The Rambam says that tevilah, you go to a mikveh, and you immerse yourself completely in the waters of the mikveh. The way that it works is, that physical immersion is like being tovel b'nei hadas. It's like the immersion a person has when he immerses himself in Torah. And that immersion in Torah is mamet, like immersing yourself in the Rabbanu Shalom. That's how you become connected to the Rabbanu Shalom. So therefore, Talmud Torah is tremendously important. This stage in your life, you have nothing else to do. You have nothing else. No worries, no parnosa worries. You don't have to support a family. You don't have children to worry about. You're b'nei chorim. That's never going to come again in your life. Mirtz Hashem, you'll have children, you'll have a wife to worry about, and you'll have a parnosa to worry about. But this point in your life, you're mamish free people. So take advantage. If you don't learn now, yola mekayim haTorah me osher, so you mekayim me only also. And the opposite also true. If you can do it now, you'll do it then too. So take advantage. These are the golden years of your life now, to be able to understand what it means to really immerse yourself in Talmud Torah and have all these milas. And then you'll be able to continue that even under more difficult circumstances for the rest of your life, to be a real Ben Torah, to be a person who is a Ben Torah, not just a person who learns Torah, but a person who has a kesher to Torah like a father and a son, is something that never can be broken. Even after the father dies, he's still the father. That relationship never goes away. So become B'nai Torah by immersing yourselves in Torah, and that'll keep with you the rest of your life, and all these milas of Torah will come to a person who's an Omel Bat Torah, who has simcha, tremendous simcha from learning Torah. And the more you do, Tamu Ra'u, the more you taste, and the more you do, the more you'll see Hatzlacha. All of you should become real B'nai Torah no matter what you're going to do in this world. But become real B'nai Torah, and in that schus, in the schus HaTorah, right, Ki Yitnu Bagoyim, when we'll learn Torah in Golis, then Ato HaKatzim, then the Rabbanu Shem said, Mashiach is going to come in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the schus of Talmud Torah, and you'll be the ones to help bring the Geula Shleim of Meir of Yomim. Yeah.